Welcome to Women's Words, a program bringing you the written work of the women of Minnesota.
My name is Marie Zwickoff, and I live in Duluth. I'll be reading from my eco-mystic romance novel, Eye of the Wolf, which is set on Isle Royal National Park in Lake Superior. Turning at the sign for Susie's Cave, Drew hiked the trail inland. It took him up over a rise of rocks and spruce. After a few more yards, he could see the mouth of the cave. It stood about 15 feet high and was twice as wide. As he entered, the first drops of rain fell. His footfalls crunched over pieces of rock that littered the cave floor, sounding like he was stepping on shattered chalkboard. In the darkening gloom, he saw that the cave's mouth quickly narrowed and lowered. He could make out a glimmer in the rear. Walking a few more steps, he saw a small back entrance. He was surprised that the cave wasn't larger. He remembered hearing somewhere that this had once been a sea cave, formed when the water level of Lake Superior had been higher. It wasn't an underground structure, more like a hollowed-out rock. Now it seemed like frost was finishing the process that the lake had started. He guessed that shards on the floor had fallen from the cave's ceiling, the result of countless freeze and thaw cycles. Drew scoped the ledges along the walls, trying to find a comfortable place to sit. He found a spot near the middle of the cave. He could still stand up if he wanted. The ceiling was about 7 feet high there. He wiped off splinters of fallen rock from his chosen ledge. The whistling of the wind had gotten louder outside. The rain had begun to beat down, and lightning flashed intermittently. Drew wondered how long the storm would last. He had a flashlight with him and a box lunch. If he needed, he could roll out his sleeping pad and bag and spend the night. It wouldn't be cozy, but at least he wouldn't have to go out in the rain. Damn it, he thought, this would make finding signs of Lana more difficult. Too bad he hadn't been able to cover more ground before the storm hit. Black Wolf crouched near the back entrance of the cave and listened to the rustlings of the human male inside. As he hoped, the human had taken refuge there. The wolf hid under some thick brush and tried to shield the plugs of the plant stock from the pounding rain. Already some of the dirt had washed off and tiny dribbles of the change fluid were seeping out. He didn't have much time before the rain washed away most of the plugs and eventually the fluid. But he didn't dare move the stock to the cave. The cave was so small, the human could surely see him at either entrance. Black Wolf could no longer hear any sounds of movement from the cave. It seemed as if the human was still alone. Black Wolf hadn't heard or smelled any others. He thought his best chance was to sneak through the back entrance after more darkness fell. But it was still too light, even with the storm clouds. All he needed to do was bite hard enough to draw blood from any part of the human, and the joining would begin, for the good of his pack. He would need to be careful, for the male was big and healthy-looking. The human could probably best him, were it not for Black Wolf's teeth and advantage of surprise. The steady drip of the rain onto the stock began to madden Black Wolf. Each drip, drip, drip seemed to erode away his chances for a successful joining. Although it was still not as dark as he would like, Black Wolf knew he would have to make his move soon. Enough time had passed that it was completely dark in the cave. Feeling in his pack for food, Drew discerned the softness of a sandwich in a plastic bag. He took out the sandwich, unwrapped it, and tasted it. It was the ham and cheese on whole wheat that he had requested. One could never be sure the kitchen staff would get it right. He reached his hand back into his pack to see what else he could find. His fingers brushed the smooth, leathery skin of an orange. Drew paused during his chewing to smile. He'd have to save the orange for another time with Melora. It wouldn't be right to eat it without her here. How had she gotten so far under his skin that just touching an orange reminded him of her? He tried to peer out the cave entrance. Not much lightning anymore. He could see nothing. Drew would have welcomed more lightning for the opportunity to better see the cave. He didn't want to use a flashlight unless he had to. No reason to use it now except for his comfort, and that wasn't worth it. Drew had taken another bite of his sandwich when it hit him from out of nowhere. The force knocked him off his seat onto the rock-strewn cave floor. His sandwich went flying. The points of the sharp rocks against his back barely registered above the shock of the attack. Before he could get up or distinguish what his attacker was, he felt a rush of air as it charged him again. He raised his arms in front of his face. Sharp somethings pierced through his jean jacket sleeve and into his right arm like pincers. He smelled the pungency of wet dog. Was some mad dog attacking him? Just as soon as that thought entered, Drew remembered the wolf attack on the boat. Oh, this was no dog. He was in for the fight of his life. Just as fast as these thoughts went through his mind, the pressure on his arm disappeared. His arm hurt, damn it. He grabbed it, feeling the torn denim. He struggled to stand, crouching, swaying back and forth, trying to sense where the creature was. He moved closer to the wall of the cave to shield his back, preparing to fend off the next attack. But it never came. It seemed the attack had stopped as quickly as it had begun. Drew stood there for a few moments, afraid that any movement would provoke another assault. He heard nothing but the wind and rain. The smell of wet dog was gone. He couldn't quite believe it was over.
To listen to this episode again or subscribe to the podcast, and for more information about this author and her work, go to kumd.org and click on Arts. Women's Words is produced at KUMD by Chris Harwood. The assistant producer is Haley Westfall. Music by Sharon Isbin. Funding for this program is provided by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Women authors of Minnesota who would like to read their work on Women's Words are welcome to submit their writing via email to kumd@kumd.org.